Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Orlando Crowcroft, World Editor at IB Times UK. You're listening to In the Field, our weekly podcast looking at the global stories that matter. I am very pleased to say that we have two of our reporters from IB Times here today who are just back from Holland, actually this morning. We're with Isabel Gerritsen and Sophia Lotto-Paseo. We are going to talk about the elections. These two have been there for a few days, kind of getting the spirit of what's going on the ground. Obviously, the elections now are on March 15th, so it's about 1 week to go. So, guys, what did you... Well, first, whereabouts did you go and kind of what were people talking about?
So first we went to Amsterdam for the morning, and then we went to the town of Venlo, which is where the far-right party leader Geert Wilders is from, which is at the border with Germany. And then we went around Rotterdam the next day, and then the day after still we went to the town of Volendam, which is one of the strongholds of the far-right party, PFF, and was visited by Wilders himself the day before. We missed him, sadly, but he wasn't there for very long, just enough to drink a beer and have some fried fish, apparently. So
he doesn't get out that much, does he, Wilders?
No, he stopped his campaigning because of this leak that one of his security guards leaked confidential information to a Moroccan criminal gang. And I mean, we feel he almost used that to portray himself as the victim even more, and he halted all his campaigning for a week. I mean, he still campaigned on Twitter for that week, and then he decided to suddenly resume and go back, and he started in Volendam, which has always been, like Sophia said, one of the strongholds. Last election, they did very well there.
So, I mean, it is very convenient that it happened that week. But, yeah. I mean, he does obviously have serious threats. And, of course, you know, we can't forget Pim Fortuyn, who was killed. I can't remember what year that was.
This Pim Fortuyn was this Dutch politician who was possibly the first one to build a whole campaign around the idea that Islam had to be stopped in the country. And he was a very flamboyant, very media-savvy kind of politician. He was openly gay, which was quite rare at the time. And he was shot during his campaign in 2002 by a Dutchman who apparently was very much on the left side of the political spectrum and some sort of environmental activist. And Wilders was actually in the news recently steering controversy because he said in an interview that Fortuyn had been killed by a Muslim person, whereas everyone knows it's not true. And he sort of took on the heritage of being Fortuyn in terms of occupying that political space that was left empty. And now he is the only person, I think, in the Dutch political environment who really voices that kind of dissatisfaction or opposition to immigrants and asylum seekers and Muslim minorities. And he seems to be still quite shunned from the rest of the politicians in the country, but it seems like he's growing a certain following among the population.
I mean, you guys actually met and spoke to a lot of Muslims over there
in
Holland. How are they receiving all of this?
They said it's a very difficult time, obviously, for Muslims around the world. And they've not only got to deal with what's going on in Holland, they've meanwhile watching the news and seeing what's going on in the US. And we've got Marine Le Pen coming up in France. So I think they said what frustrates them the most is that there's no engagement with politicians. So they actually invited Wilders to come speak at this debate they're having about the Islam. And they said that for someone who's so opposed to their religion, he should be willing to debate that in the open, especially if he's wants to become prime minister. But he refused to go. And I think they said it wasn't just him, it was across politics. They don't feel represented and they don't feel listened to.
One of the interesting developments in Dutch politics is the emergence of these two parties, actually, who are trying to address portions of the populations who don't feel represented by mainstream parties, specifically immigrant or second-generation Dutch citizens. And one of these parties is particularly popular among the Turkish and the Moroccan community. And when we went to Rotterdam and we went to an area near the mosque, we saw a lot of the posters from this party called DENK, which otherwise in most Dutch cities we visited, there wasn't that much campaigning or that many posters hanging around. But there, I think it was impressive, the amount of posters in support of this party, because I think that is one of the only ways that the Muslim community feels they are being represented by someone who really speaks to them and for them to a certain degree. And when we were speaking to Dutch people in the streets, that's something that the immigration didn't really come up right away as an issue. But when you were speaking to second-generation Dutch people or people that have moved to the Netherlands and are now Dutch citizens and can vote, discrimination and worries about discrimination was the first thing that they talked about when you asked them what matters to you in this election.
I mean, he actually goes further than Trump in a lot of respects. I mean, he talks about banning, closing down mosques, and you know, that's some really kind of crazy stuff. I mean, that's something that they would find incredibly worrying.
I feel many people we spoke to said that they're not actually that worried about it happening because of the way the Dutch political system works. It's unlikely. You would never have one party ruling the country. And also, what they were saying is it's almost like he wouldn't see it through anyway, that it's all this big fear-mongering, and it's a campaign to just scapegoat one group of people, but it's not. Very few people took it seriously, including Muslims, which I was quite surprised about. Obviously, it's still very worrying, the language he uses, and it's led to a huge increase in hate crimes as well.
We found a poster in Volendam that said why you shouldn't vote the PVV one of the only posters we saw in the whole city. And they were mentioning the articles of the Dutch constitutions that would protect, I guess, people from what the PVV proposed. There were at least four articles that were quoted in that poster, and they were saying don't vote the PVV because regardless of what they're actually proposing, it's actually not feasible because the Dutch constitution does not allow for these kind of policies.
Voters, do they believe in that stuff? Do they believe in closing mosques and banning Sharia law?
We got the impression the most common reason people are voting for him is because they're incredibly angry with the current government and they feel let down. They don't feel heard, so it's a protest vote. And they feel that if he does get the most votes, the government will be forced to listen and do something about it.
Yes, I think that people are not so much interested in what he wants to do in terms of this idea of the Islamized the Netherlands. I think they find this slightly ridiculous. in itself, but they do agree with the idea that there should be less immigration to the country, I think, in general. And also, they are just tired of this coalition government system that basically does not allow for one political party program to be carried out fully, but obviously it's based on the idea of compromise between different political factions. And in the eyes of these people, this doesn't lead to particularly efficient governance, or they just feel like their voice is not heard, and they see in Wilders someone that can shake up that kind of equilibrium and bring about some more significant change. Although the actual content of that change remains a little bit unclear and vague.
How big a factor is the EU in this whole Nexit, the idea that Holland would follow Britain?
There's a weird crossover between, you've got the Socialist Party on the fringe of the left-wing politics, and then you've got the far right, and there's a lot of crossover between their voters. We spoke to several people who said that they're going to vote for the Socialists, and if they don't, they would vote for Wilders.
Yeah, but the Socialists are campaigning around the idea of decreasing costs for healthcare, which is obviously very attractive, especially among the older part segment of the population, but also in general. I've spoke to people that are saying, yes, it is a really big problem. There's a private health system in the Netherlands, but on top of the insurance cost every month, you also have to pay for a certain amount of money of your own pocket every time you use the health services. So now it's about up to 400 euros a year of health expenditure comes out of your own pocket, on top of 100 euros a month of health insurance. So this takes a huge toll on families. You have benefits, but they're not that much. So the Socialist Party is really gathering a lot of support around this idea that they want to lower the cost and possibly even renationalize the health service. And this is actually a solid policy that would affect the life of a lot of people. And I think that's where people that could be agreeing with Wilders' ideas could vote for the PFF, but will vote for the Socialist Party instead, because they are rallying around an issue that affects their lives.
And Isabel, you touched on it before, but the coalition issue and come the next day, if people vote Socialist and people vote PFF, what's government likely to look like anyway on Thursday?
It's really difficult to know. I read somewhere in the Dutch press that currently 75% of voters are undecided. There's so many parties. Although that's always been the case in Dutch politics, I think it's the first time that the main parties are really struggling to win over their base. So the Labour Party has been completely destroyed after their coalition. They're currently in the coalition with the Conservatives. I think it's looking likely that the VVD, the current party in government, will get the most votes, but they've ruled out working with the far right. And it's difficult to say, because I don't know how they can kind of get around that problem. If millions of people vote for Wilders, they're going to have to listen to that somehow.
This government coalition seems to be very chaotic right now. The possibility of a government coalition would have to involve at least four different parties. So it will take, I think, a considerable amount of time following the official election results to carry out the necessary negotiations and to come out with a coalition government. I think it will probably take a few months. In 2012, it took a while, and at the time it was two clear winners of the elections were the VVD, so like the Conservative Party, so to speak, the Liberal Conservative, and the Labour Party, the PPDA. They had a clear majority over everybody else, so it was a matter of the two parties sitting together and deciding how they were going to rule together from two different angles, two different positions for the next 4 years. And they succeeded in that, obviously at the cost of the Labour Party's majority of voters. But now having negotiations with four parties will be a headache, no matter who wins And I think it's unlikely that the first mandate to form a government will be given to Wilders, regardless of how many votes he gets, especially if he doesn't win a majority. I think the current Prime Minister, Mark Rutte, is most likely going to be given the first shot, if the polls indeed are right in saying that he's leading and his party will get the majority of the seats.
Well, I was in Denmark in June, I think, last year, just before Brexit, and everybody was talking about Brexit. Every Dane I met asked me about Brexit. People were really following it. And is that the same in Holland? Are people really interested in what's happening in not just in Britain, actually, but in the US with Trump? Or is it very much local issues, Dutch issues that are...
We had to ask specifically to get any reply, and I don't think people had particularly strong feelings. But the Denmark would make more sense because Denmark is a lot less connected to the European Union. But the Netherlands was one of the founding members. In general, it was already part of the Benelux group, and they share such a huge border with Germany. There were so many German people in Dutch towns, and a lot of Dutch people are in German towns. I think the Netherlands feels a lot more connected to the European Union than both the UK and Denmark. And the latest surveys that I've seen don't show a majority supporting the possibility of leaving the European Union.
But what does come up time and time again is this idea of Dutch values and people, whatever that means, and people not wanting the country to change. And I think this is partly why Wilders is gaining popularity, because he's talking about immigrants coming in and enforcing their beliefs on the Dutch community. And this was actually, they had a debate last night, and this was a big, big topic. And every party, even there's quite a few Christian parties in Holland, and they've always had a strong base. And they're also very concerned about this idea of Dutch values being overturned and changed over time.
So finally, tell us a little about the pieces that are going to come up this week, just in case our listeners want to check them out.
So if you're interested in the political assassination of Pinfort Town and how that contributed to the rise of Geert Wilders, that's one of the pieces that is coming up by the end of this week. Yeah, his whole rhetoric is all about putting himself on the front line for this idea of freedom and Dutch values. And his biography, or a book that he published in 2012, also is titled something like Martyr, or something that at least shows how he's very aware of his position as someone who has given up on his own personal freedom for the freedom of the country. But that's something only a minority of people believe in, I think.
We've got a big piece on the reaction of the Muslim community. We've got interviews with the Imam of Rotterdam and the head of the Islamic University in Rotterdam. And they talked to us a lot about politics, but they also talked about Islamophobia and the problems and the discrimination Muslims are facing at the moment.
We will put in rich links to some of Sophia and Isabel's piece on the Acast. And if you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review us. And thank you very much, both of you, for your time.